Chapter 34. Mangora. Mangora hobbled as fast as she could across the rickety wooden planks of her shop and threw open a large double-shelved cabinet. Quickly, she began knocking items around, throwing things to the side, not caring in the least whether they were fragile or not. Her hand wrapped around a large pewter vase in the back, and after ripping off the top, she sunk her hand into the moist concoction. She could feel the pain immediately begin to ease as her hand slid further in. She had caught it before the necrotic tissue had eaten its way clear to the bone. Even with the additive of her magic, the pain was intense. Thankfully, she still had enough of the Hidamari loam left from her travels into the blasted lands to reverse most of the damage. She couldn't believe what had just taken place. They had been looking for the failing for over 16 years, and here he up and walked right into her shop. She knew there was no such thing as coincidence. She'd always said that Nialis wouldn't have taken him to Eremor, that he would have raised him somewhere a bit more secluded, and she had been right. With her hand still covered in healing mire, Mangora wrapped it with a clean cloth and made her way into the back room. She shut the door behind her. She wasn't much worried about future customers. The back room lay in darkness, encased in a silence that was not just heard, but felt.
Voyestra!
A flash of light from a large candle flickered to life, casting shadows across the small wooden table where she sat. The deep red wax of the newly lit candle warmed, slowly releasing its blood-stained drops onto the table below. A singular object lay in front of her, a black crystal. Her robe lifted, and a hooked finger with inflamed knuckles protruded from the folds. She glanced at her ring. It was made of silver hematite, in the shape of a great spider with 8 legs that wrapped around the wearer's finger. But in place of an abdomen was a large bloodstone, which glowed red at its core.
Aknobian! Valtor!
Her harsh voice rang out as the sharp words pierced the silence. The crystal on the table jerked to life, revolving in place. Within moments, the spinning was beyond what the human eye could perceive as the crystal rose off the table and liquefied, forming a circular pattern in the air about 2 feet in diameter. The black substance glimmered as an image sparked into existence. Much like looking through a window, Mangora watched as a tall, gaunt-faced man, robed in crimson, stood behind a long wooden table, surrounded by shelves of archaic objects. He was busy leafing through an old manuscript. Valtor's face hardened. He grabbed an identical crystal from the nearby shelf and threw it on the table, then reached for his staff. The bloodstone inside the wolf's maw pulsed. He aimed the head of the staff toward the crystal.
A Valda!
The crystal burst to life. It spread as it rose into the air and bonded with her crystal. The image was now two-way.
What do you want, Mangora?
He barked, laying his staff against the table.
The boy has been found,
she said with a dry cackle.
Boy? What boy? The boy,
she emphasized. The thick brows over his gaunt eyes rose.
Are you sure?
Mangora raised her bandaged hand.
Very sure.
She remembered how displeased Eridan had been with the news of their failure to capture the failing the first time. The dark wizard had been even more upset once he learned who had taken possession of the child. Thankfully, from within his prison, Eridine was incapable of affecting the physical world. If not for that fact, Mangora was sure a swift death would have been a mercy. She had never known why the dark wizard had wanted the strange human fairy anomaly. If Valtor knew, he never revealed it. Failings weren't like other of the Vinay. They didn't need incantations or runes to enact spells. They didn't need transferal crystals to release hidden gifts. And unlike those wielders who possessed innate magic, these failings were born not with magic, but of magic, giving them an almost divine-like mastery over its use, capabilities hindered only by their own strength. Mangora could only imagine what they could do with someone like that working with them. Because of their power, these marked ones were extremely dangerous and, when found, had been immediately eradicated. Mangora had no idea what dark purpose their master had in store for the young failing, but she was sure it would be most unpleasant. Eridine had been alive for almost 2,000 years. He had been around when the first of the fairies had broken through the barrier that separated their realm from the realm of man. He had helped establish the first wizard order. He had been there when the fairy creatures had been pushed back to their own realm and the breach sealed. He had fought in the great fairy wars, and then in the wizard wars that followed. He obviously had insight beyond anything they could comprehend.
"Where is he?" Valtor asked.
"East Haven."
"East Haven?"
A small spark of understanding flashed across the Chancellor's face.
"Of course, Nialis wants to keep him close to the forest."
He glanced downward at the sprawl of papers and tomes covering the top of his table.
"We should have anticipated this sooner."
He slammed his fist onto the top of the table, spilling ink from a nearby jar and scattering a few of the loose parchments.
"Eridine will not be pleased at our failure in finding him sooner."
His eyes grew sullen.
"What would you have me do?"
She didn't like it when Valtor lost his temper. He tended to lash out. The Chancellor regained his composure and straightened his robes.
"Keep your eyes on him."
He raised his brow.
"All your eyes."
Mangora smiled.
"They are already watching. When should I expect you?"
Valtor arched his back and his face grew stern.
"I cannot leave. My task is progressing here.
By winter's end, Eremor will be broken, and a new High King established, one who can be easily molded to fit our plans. The Seer has foreseen it."
"And you trust this Seer?"
"Of course not."
His smile curled at the ends of his mouth as he tapped his fingertips together.
"But I have very persuasive methods of extracting the truth."
Valtor took a step back.
"It will be up to you to bring the boy to me. Do you think you can handle that?"
"Are you questioning my abilities, Valtor?"
"No, but we have had others try and fail. We cannot afford to act too hastily. It could drive the boy back into hiding, or worse, give cause to alarm Nialis. I don't want that time-worn fool of a wizard getting in my way."
"He's only one man, Valtor. We can handle him."
"Don't underestimate him, Mangora. Those that have never lived long enough to regret it."
Mangora grumbled.
"Patience is a virtue. I have in ample supply, Chancellor. But patience can also be construed as procrastination. Or worse, defiance.
I would prefer not to face the master's wrath if I were to let the boy escape my grasp when I had the opportunity to do otherwise.
She scooted forward in her seat, letting the age of her face be seen by the light of the candle. Her lips parted to reveal a row of poorly tended incisors.
My pets are always hungry.
Valtor grimaced.
Do what you must.
He retrieved a few of the scattered documents on his table and righted his inkwell.
Do you have those you can trust to help you with this?
I have all I will need to get the job done.
Then let me know when it's finished.
He fixed Mangora with a hard glare.
And for all our sakes, you better not fail.
He swiped his hand in front of the image.
Sicrio Padorum.
The liquefied crystal reformed and fell back onto the table, rolling gently to a stop. From beneath her robes, Mangora extended a withered hand. She slid her fingers around the crystal and tucked it safely away within the confines of her robe. She was getting tired of Valtor's constant belittlement. She was a powerful sorceress in her own right. She might not be his equal, but she deserved more than his not-so-subtle rebukes and contempt. A clicking noise stirred from behind her seat, fast, repetitive, and growing louder. She raised an outstretched hand to her side as an enormous brown spider stepped out of the shadows and under her grasp. She slid her fingers across its furry back.
You hear that, Siglara? It seems your children are needed once more.